Blog Talk Radio.
Here I sit and the words keep coming. They won't go away, they just keep coming.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Well, hello and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. This is your regular Wednesday night host, Kim Justice. And if you'd like to know more about me, you can check out my website, inaflash.org. That's how quickly our lives can change, right? Inaflash.org. Recovery Now has been for almost 14 years our regular Wednesday night show, and I'm happy to be here tonight. I have a dedicated intro, but I don't play it on nights where I'm planning on having a co-host. Now, my co-host is, you want to dial in to 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. That's where the co-host should call in, and that would be Hatter, who a lot of you already know. Been blessed to have him be a regular on the show for a long time, and he's going to help me co-host tonight. But I'll do a few intros before he comes in, and that same number would be one that you could call into if you have questions or something to contribute as related to our topic. But Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. And for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. So generally, that's what Recovery Now is about each week. And that takes many forms, whether it's a topic directly related to brain injury or whether it's a people first kind of topic like we had last week. But tonight, we're going to be talking directly about brain injury. And I'm going to bring Hatter on in just one moment. I hope you guys all had a safe, fun Halloween last night. Welcome to, tear it off your calendar, November 1st today. Make yourself a post-it note and put it somewhere that this weekend, Saturday night, you'll want to change your clock. And maybe he can help me when he comes on with that. I know the spring forward, do whatever backwards. And you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. But I'm always confused. One thing I do know, and I texted Hatter before the show, he's 2 hours earlier than me. I'm in Central Time, and it's getting dark so much earlier. And I'm not getting younger. And so it's dark for hours before the show comes on. And so I'm really going to crush it, literally, tonight. I've got an orange crush sitting here. And it's been in the refrigerator. It's what I call the fire extinguisher drink. I kind of quit drinking soda and sweet stuff like that quite a while ago. But I was into Dr. Pepper, cream soda Dr. Pepper for a little while, and then made the decision again after I hadn't drank soda in years. I drank those for about a month, and then I quit again, and it's been a really long time since I've had soda. But I bought this one orange crush when I was getting gas one day, and my husband, who is addicted to Diet Coke, I was getting him a Diet Coke, and I thought, orange crush, God, I didn't even know they made that anymore. Looks kind of good. I think I'll get it. And I did, and I put it in the fridge, and it's been there, I don't know, 6 months or so. And I thought, well, that might boot me right up tonight, so I'm going to take that with me, just in case. Again, I'm going to bring Hatter on in one moment, but in regard to TBI, 2.5 million, you know, I listened to an interview the other day, and it was a celebrity interviewing someone about brain injuries, TBI, traumatic brain injury. And I was surprised at how simple the questions are, and I realized I've been around here so long that some of this comes to me naturally now. And I recalled that before I became a host many years ago, I didn't know any of these things either. Everybody's heard of cancer and diabetes, heart disease. They know someone who's struggled with one of those things. They know some facts. For example, if someone has cancer, they oftentimes are treated with chemo or radiation, but so many people don't know much about traumatic brain injury. Yet 2.5 million people a year have TBIs. And out of that, 50,000 die. And over 80,000 suffer permanent disability. TBI is the leading cause of death and disability in children and adults between the ages of 1 and 44, if you want to put it that way. But it's most prevalent, while it can happen to anyone, regardless, like I said in the program notes, it's the great leveler. Anyone can have a brain injury. But it is prevalent in children and the elderly because of the number one reason, which is falls. Falls is the leading cause of TBIs. The second leading cause is motor vehicle accidents. And then we have things like assault, sports, and combat. And then they did distinguish, when I first came around, things like aneurysms and strokes, AVMs. Those are called ABIs as opposed to TBI. That stands for an acquired brain injury. And they separated them largely, I'm going to say, politically. because there's an association for everything fighting for the same dollar. The Brain Injury Association, the Brain Aneurysm Association, the Brain Injury Alliance, the Stroke Association. They're all doing the same thing. They have statistics out. Good to have. And they have some useful tools on their website. In this case, I will give you that website because there's some brochures you might want to download. But in any case, they have added ABI as a subheading under TBI now on the TBI website. I don't know how the ABIs feel about that, but while every brain injury can be the proverbial they, say that everybody's injury is different, it is the brain, and so there are also a lot of similarities. When you have an insult to the brain, regardless of how you got it, there are some things, and I started a list. There were 12 things on it. For some reason, there's only 11 on this list. And then I have a piece of housekeeping, and then I can bring Hatter on now. In fact, I will, and then I'll go through this list of 10 things real quick and give you a piece of housekeeping. But let's. I'm so happy that he's here with me tonight. Welcome, Hatter. So glad you are here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kim. Yeah, good, pleasure to be here.
But... Well, what I was going to say, and then we'll engage. Wait, let me put the chat room back. There we go. Says Craig Cecilia in it, and Craig hasn't done a... By the way, folks, that was, well, one thing I might do before we start our discussion in regard to Halloween, that intro song on the generic intro that I use when I have a co-host is our founder when he had his band for 15 years. That's a song called Words and Insane with Pain. Imagine that was the name of the band. And so I'm trying to think because he changed the name again after. They were on label for quite a while with Sony. And then something came up. I can talk about that another time. And they broke up and didn't do music for a long time. And then they got back together and did music for quite a while, then did a 5-album set. It was going to be their farewell tour, and I believe it was called The Reckoning. They got all the studio work done. It was either 5, might have been 6, but 5 albums. I date myself when I say that. And they were getting ready to go on tour when COVID broke out. This will be one of those weird things, like we all know what we were doing on 9/11. I know what you were doing right around when COVID broke out. You were on your way to be wanting to go to Australia, and COVID stopped you. Well, it stopped them from going on tour. So they had spent all that time doing the studio work, completing 5 records for tour, and COVID broke out before they could go on tour. And then unfortunately, there were 3 of them for 15 years under both names, the same 3 people. one of those people got COVID and died. And so I found that very prophetic. You know, it was their farewell quotes, air quotes, farewell tour. And in fact, it was. They never made it on the tour, but that band won't be getting back together again. So I might play a song only because it's of what it's called in honor of Halloween last night. But jumping back for a minute to what I'm going to end with when I gave those statistics, just to bone people up a little bit on what TBI is. I talked a little bit about that's on TBI and on ABI. And one of the last things I wanted to say about that is the difference is that TBI is an assault to the brain from the outside. Those blast injuries in battle, those repeated concussions in sports, the car accidents, the falls, those things all originate outside the head and assault the brain. In an acquired brain injury, be it an aneurysm, an AVM, a stroke, it originates from the inside. It's an insult to the brain from the inside of the head. So that's basically the difference. They're both assaults to the brain that cause a great deal of death, disability, pain. And, you know, one of the things I think I left off right before I brought you on, getting ready to read a list of 11 of my 12 things that I started writing down over the years, because I kept hearing people say that there's no two brain injuries that are alike. Well, people are different, and people handle situations differently, but, you know, the brain, and I still stand by that, but the brain is the brain, and when you get an assault to the brain, whether it's from the inside or the outside, whether they call it a mild brain injury, which I think is insane. Some doctor who didn't know anything about brain injury had to come up with that term. because if you've had a mild brain injury, which an example for the audience is repeated concussions and developing a condition, for example, called post-concussion syndrome. And what happens in a case like that is it's not only necessarily direct hit concussions, but there has a tendency to be a whiplash effect where your head snaps forward and back, like in a car accident. They call it a whiplash. Well, that same type of thing happens a lot in sports. And if you saw the movie Concussion, he gives a very good example. And, you know, but to sum it up, the brain itself is like a blob of jelly. The skull that surrounds the brain is bone that's got knots. And when you slam a blob of jelly up against bars with little hooks and edges on them, you're going to get contusions. You might get a bleed. You're going to get the results of an effect that they call coup contra coup, boom, boom. And they call that a mild brain injury. And one of the reasons that came up is they wanted to classify brain injuries mild, moderate, severe. Severe means you were knocked out. For a long time, people thought to have a concussion, you had to be knocked out. Not true. but a severe brain injury is one where a person winds up in a coma and is knocked out. Moderate is somewhere in between, obviously, and mild, they say, is where someone didn't lose consciousness. Now, the effects that a person can have from something like post-concussion syndrome or any other thing they want to characterize as a mild brain injury can be on this list I'm going to read and feel as helpless and hopeless sometimes to the survivor as any of the other categories. It ain't pleasant. And it's something that may resolve quickly, just like a severe. You might come out of the coma and do a few months of therapy and be as close back to yourself as you're going to be with a couple quirks, but not necessarily. In all three categories, mild, moderate, and severe, there are people who live the rest of their life with some of these things I'm going to read. But the first one is short-term memory loss or forgetfulness. The second, trouble focusing our attention. The third, neurofatigue or running out of energy, not just getting tired, like when you've stayed up too late and you're really tired, but a kind of exhaustion that's very hard to describe. Unless you've had neurofatigue, you have to stop. It's like the battery running out on your cell phone. Boom. Dizziness and balance issues often go along with a brain injury. Cognitive deficits. You process things slower than you did before. I like to say I used to be able to juggle, you know, five balls in the air at the same time and multitask. And now, you know, sometimes when I overstretch my reach, one of the things, and we're going to be talking about this, that we do in recovery is learn our new boundaries. If that applies, most times it does. But still, we default sometimes to, you know, if you ask yourself, is this a task I can do? Heck yeah. I used to do this all the time. What about this one, this one, this one, and this one? Yeah, I've done things easily, with ease, and to some level of proficiency. And today, if I try to do those five tasks at the same time, like I used to, something's going to come out half-assed. Something's going to be forgotten, and I tend to need to focus, have a more pinpoint focus on tasks that I'm doing, depending on the level of concentration and the difficulty. If I want it to come out with that level of proficiency. So processing things slower than before. Number six is aphasia, which is trouble recalling or understanding words. Seven, not being able to handle overstimulation, like the neon lights at the grocery store is one that I hear a lot and suffer from. Going into a party and sitting there and having people all around you having separate conversations, it just kind of starts to sound like that wah, 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 wah noise, and it's can be irritating. So, or crowded. Some people really are bothered by crowding. So overstimulation of any of your senses. 8 and 9, little bit related, emotional, anxiety about the slightest things. Also, I would add PTSD to that, because most of us, that wasn't on the list before, but I've talked to so many people now, and I thought about my own ruptured brain aneurysm, and there was not only the trauma of being 35 years old, in perfect shape, had just had a physical the week before, was the most financially successful, the peak of looks, the peak of everything going really good at age 35. I got up that morning, everything was fine. I went down, boom, and my life changed forever. That was traumatic, to wake up 11 days later in a hospital and have half my head shaved. I had hair you could sit on, long, long hair, had half my head shaved, and my face was stapled with a C-scar. Some of you recognize from having a craniotomy. That was traumatic, to go through that experience out of the blue. But having your face and your skull sawed into with tools in there, clipping and trying to get blood out and doing what they do, that's, the surgery is traumatic too. So I guess what I'm saying is not only the event, but the treatment. And then the dreams or the recollections. Certainly, I realized years later I had PTSD related to that experience. It wasn't just anxiety. It went deeper than that. Depression is another. Chronic pain is very frequent. A lot of the people that I know who've had brain injury wind up having their brain injury, having their treatment, whatever that treatment is, but then suffer chronic pain afterward. My husband and I laugh. You know, when he was in the military, he worked for part of the time in weather, and he actually hails from Washington, D.C., and so when he got stationed here in Omaha, I didn't know him then. I met him when he retired, but he will wager a guess on what the weather is going to be, and I'll say, no, it's going to storm, and it's pretty close. The barometric pressure has changed. Now, I know nothing about weather, but what I do know something about is pain. Chronic pain, and as you get older, it kind of becomes arthritic. And when there's going to be a drastic change in the weather, a lot of us know it. And we can outrank the professional weather people in guessing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you got to find the humor in it, you know, but we've had some laughs over it because he was the professional in weather, but when it comes to weather where we're at, I'm definitely the weather person where we're at. It's my body that tells me. And then finally, number 11 is sleep issues, which can be a lack of sleep or excessive sleep or both. As you're on your journey, it can flip-flop back and forth, but just not a normal sleep pattern like you had before. So those are 11 things. Not everybody who has a brain injury has those things. However, a large percentage of the people that have had a brain injury have some of those things. The last thing I want to say on that is, and I don't want to get in a big discussion about it, about this. I know nobody really wants to hear it, but hear about it. I do have one housekeeping thing, but I want to go back to the list for a minute. We've been hearing a lot of talk when they allow it, and if you've read anything, I didn't happen to get COVID that I know of. But we hear people talking about long COVID. And one of the terms you hear used all the time, you know, long COVID is kind of like a Parkinson's or one of those things where they don't have a definite diagnostic tool. What they do is they have a list of symptoms, like what I just read you, that have come up quite a bit. And when those symptoms match up, you know, maybe I don't know the list, but let's say their list has 15 things on it. And if you have 10 of the things, you get the diagnosis. You win. You lose. That's how they're doing long COVID. And brain fog is something we're hearing over and over and over with any discussion about long COVID is brain fog. And I don't laugh in being mean or anything like that, but I kind of laugh in the irony that brain fog, which is a lack of focus and clarity or forgetfulness, those are things I just read off the list of brain injury. And so one of the things that tells me, and here's where I'll say that neither Hatter or I are doctors, so we're not offering any professional advice, recommendations, anything else. Just personal experience and personal opinions. What I would have to say is COVID started out in 2020 as a respiratory illness. And then as it started mutating, you know, other organs were getting involved. Now, my opinion, rather than being respiratory, though it can be, is that it's arterial and, you know, talk of clotting and attacking different organs, that sort of thing, more than just having a cough and a stuffy nose and having it necessarily just be the lungs. What it tells me, at least in the case of the people with long COVID, is that things like brain fog, and you heard people talk about losing their sense of taste or their sense of smell. Those things are generated from parts of the brain. So what that would tell me, just as a bystander, is that COVID passes through the brain. And that would be the causal factor for you don't get brain fog and problems tasting or smelling unless something is passed through the brain. And so I wouldn't be surprised. Well, and it is kind of. I was going to say I wouldn't be surprised if at some point one of the things listed under brain injury isn't long COVID. Now, the other thing that would give me a tip, and I did have all these things written down before, But I wanted to look up that I knew the 2.5 million a year, but I wanted to double check that 50 deaths and 80,000 disabilities a year. I hadn't been on the brain injury, BIUSA.org website for a long time. But they have a section on there, and I didn't get a chance to stop and read it, but they have a section on there now about brain injury and COVID. They're suggesting that people that have suffered brain injury get a vaccine, and perhaps it's because of some of the stuff that I just talked about. It looks like it heads that direction. So maybe they're saying, and I don't know, look it up and read it or do a little homework on your own. But if long COVID does in fact include brain fog and a lot of these other things attached to the brain, perhaps they're saying that those things might not become long COVID, and the symptoms might not be as severe if you got a vaccine. But they still don't know that. You know, it's your guess. In fact, I asked my doctor at my physical, and my mom asked her cardiologist, because we've heard things about blood clots and strokes and heart issues with some of these vaccines, but we've heard about it with the disease too. And so now here we are in November, and this is my last piece of housekeeping in a minute, just a tip for people. Anyway, here we are in November, and the answer I got from my doctor and the one my mom got from her cardiologist is no answer. They didn't recommend it or not recommend it. They didn't even venture a, you know, and I said to my mom, for God's sake, everybody knows they don't know. So let's say up front, we're not going to hold their feet to the fire with any guarantees, because they're not to the point with this disease or anyone can give that. But I would like to think that they know what's going on with their patients. Like how many patients, they said COVID started late summer this year. Interestingly, it didn't wait till everyone was crammed inside in places like the Midwest. And I knew a couple people that got it. So, you know, for example, if you asked your doctor, how many of your patients vaccined and not vaccined, if any, have you put in the hospital for COVID since the 1st of August? They should know that. And you must have looked at some studies, keeping up with your continuing education credits. You must have read a paper or two, you know, on the progression of COVID going into year three. What's your opinion with my underlying conditions? What would you do if it was your wife? What would you do if it was your daughter?
That tells you one thing, that it's gone politically motivated.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like, they generalize everything. When being caught with fudging the yearly numbers of the flu nationally and internationally to mark everything was contributed to the COVID. Well, how many died of the regular flu, which is usually about a million people? That's an average year through it globally. And actually, the answer was none. They were all contributed to COVID. That alone tells you that they are jacking the numbers around. You got to be careful about what you believe. Check your sources. Who wrote this thing you just read? Because you can go find another way and see, make sure that this is solid. Because as long as there's money to be made in medical emergencies, expect more medical emergencies. Same with war. As long as there's people making,
people making money,
there'll be more wars. That's just a fact. You get to get the money out of politics to correct that. So just everybody be careful and check your sources. And you do have to do your homework because you cannot trust the people that we used to anyway.
Well, you can't, if you can't trust your doctor to give an answer.
Well,
and those 11 things,
yeah.
I just...
They're scared to death to do anything because if they go against the trend, they'll be shut down. And, you know, not allowed to write papers or whatever they do in the journals. It just reeks of politically motivated and hushed. We're only told what they want us to be told.
Your doctor is there to advise you on a higher degree of medical knowledge than you have as the patient that walks it. That's why I was saying, if we told them, you know, I'm not holding your feet to the fire, they've already got their ass covered every way from Sunday on the vaccines. You can't sue them, anybody, the government, nobody, you know, over COVID. So let's assume, you know, everyone is covered. None of you can be sued. That's been taken care of. But do you have an opinion as the expert, the so-called expert, knowing that we know you don't know for sure, but we're all kind of sitting here not knowing what we should do? This is the last tip I'm going to go, and then we'll take off with the rest of it. One thing I thought was really interesting that I just wanted to tell the ladies and the gentlemen, but I have this thing, and Simon and I talked about it last year. Last week. I wish he was here this week. You're going to fall over when you hear this. But I had made the comment that even if it's like a medication, or pick any random medication, you know, blood pressure and an antidepressant, whatever, that I never, or vaccines, I never get more than one thing at a time, and I put a little time in between it. And my thing on that is just that if something goes wrong, I want to be able to pinpoint immediately what it was. I don't want to guess. Was it the flu shot or the COVID vaccine? Was it pill A or pill B? So it's just my thing, you know, not saying right or wrong. It's just what I do. I won't do more than one thing at a time without putting a little space in there. And who knows if my space is long enough. You know, I got a flu shot. My doctor did suggest, because of a bad habit I've had for a lifetime, that I should get an RSV shot vaccine. There's a third to throw in the mix this year.
The nanotechnology.
Well, it specifically is lungs, you know, like COVID was in the beginning. But anyway, here's the point. It was time for my mammogram. And called, you know, and I had that surgery before, that biopsy before, and I was going to be getting put under for surgery. And so I talked to the doctors, and I said, should I wait, because 'tis the season, you know, I'm considering I'll probably at least get a flu shot. Then my doctor threw in that RSV, which was new to me. Nobody said that the last couple years to me. I was thinking of the COVID vaccine, you know, when I said, it's the time of year to be thinking about what, if anything, I'm going to be doing. And I said, I'm not going to get any before I go under and have it maybe clash with the anesthetic that's knocking me out. So I'm going to wait till after my surgery. Okay, so then it's time to go in and get a mammogram. So that's imagery, right? And I called, and luckily it wasn't the doctor. It was a nurse. And she says to me, and I told her some of what I just told all of you, and she said, I think you're wise to wait until after the mammogram to get your flu shot or anything else you might be considering. And so I did. I went ahead and got the mammogram, and it's fine. Yeah. And then I got a flu shot a few days later because everything was fine, and I won't be being put under now. Everything came out all right with the other. And if I want to do it before the holidays, before Thanksgiving, for example, I can give it 2 weeks and get an RSV shot if I'm going to, or a COVID shot if I'm going to. I don't know. But it would have to be, you know, like probably at the end of next week. That would give it 2 weeks between the flu shot and when there's going to be a gathering of people closed up in a closed space together, group of people. And they say it takes 2 weeks for the vaccines to kick in. So you're looking for this timing. Okay, so all I want to tell you ladies that are getting a mammogram, or men who are going to be getting an MRI or an ultrasound, is I read that in regard to the mammogram, either don't get a shot before you get the mammogram, do that first, or wait 6 to 8 weeks is what was suggested. To get a vaccine. And the reason is they noticed in, I think it was 2021, that the lymph nodes in the armpit were affected by what was in the vaccine. Now, the article I read was Johns Hopkins, so it was, and then another one was as credible. Penn State, maybe, I'm not sure. But anyway, this is all over the internet. If you go and look for it from reputable sources, don't look at Wikipedia or WebMD. Those are not credible sources. But find some credible sources, and what it will tell you, and I, having just gone through a biopsy and then having the mammogram and waiting, you know, to hear how that came out, both ends, right? I was kind of offended at the articles because it said it's good that the potion is in those lymph nodes under your armpit and could show up on the imagery because cancer would look like that too. And so they might be prone to doing a biopsy on you because of the view of something abnormal showing up in your MRI, your ultrasound, or your mammogram, and then, you know, find out that it isn't cancer. It was just the potion from the vaccine. But I thought, what the hell? You act like that's not a big deal. That's scary. It is a big deal. You have to wait and worry and be stressed over it. Why the hell would you do that? And what a stupid ass thing to say. But what they were saying is it shows that your body is in the fight mode and that potion from the vaccine made it, or it wouldn't be in your lymph nodes. But if that presents in imagery the same as cancer or some kind of an abnormality, don't. I guess I would just encourage you, ladies, if you, October, I believe, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so it's around this time of year, a lot of you might be thinking about getting your mammogram, is don't get the flu shot or the vaccine or the RSV or any kind of vaccine first and then go get that imagery, or at least be aware that there's a really good chance if they see something abnormal, it's going to be from the vaccine and not necessarily because you have cancer. So one of those articles said, don't hold off. You know, they're both important. You don't want to get cancer, and you don't want to get, yeah, well, you know, I'm not sure that the couple weeks is going to make a difference.
Basically just zapping that organism with low radiation, low levels of radiation, and you don't know what could happen. Definitely.
Well, and then the last thing is what Simon said. You know, when I said that about I don't do two things at once, he got both of his shots at the same time. He got his COVID shot and his flu shot at the same time. Now, I don't know if he's had any complications. He did say he had been having headaches and sleeping before that show last week. You know, he had gotten the shots the day before, two of them, and his arm really hurt, and he had been sleeping and had a headache and this and that. And I read a thing today, and again, go to the internet yourselves, because you can't count on my memory. But what you can count on is it gave both the flu shot and the COVID vaccine. And pretty much what it said was, if the flu vaccines haven't been used by the end of the day, they need to toss them. And the COVID vaccines, whatever they haven't used at the end of the day, it has to be stored between 36 and 47 degrees until it's used again, or it will be no good. So what I see there, again, my opinion, is those two things are true. That there is a, I don't want to call it shelf life, because that infers that there's some time. There's not. By the end of the day, once you've cracked the bottle, it's like champagne if you leave the lid off. You know? It's no good, you know, at the end of the day. And so that would certainly give providers the incentive to give you two shots at the same time. Is that in your best interest? Or is it because they're going to have to get rid of product that's not used at the end of the day? So, just a thought.
Get your shots in the morning.
If you want to get them at the same time, yeah.
I'm surprised they'll do that for some
Well, some people do for their own convenience. You know, they're there getting a shot in one arm. What the hell? I'll get a shot in the other arm, and it'll just be one trip. A lot of people don't think like I do, and that's fine. If they want to go and get two shots at the same time, they can do that. I'm just kind of paranoid. You know, I'm just paranoid. It's like, I don't know. If something goes wrong, especially because, you know, the COVID shot's an emergency use. It hasn't gone through all the testing and everything yet. And it's changed. You know, the potion has changed now. It's still not been approved, you know, by the FDA. It hasn't gone through all the trials and things that normally it takes, you know, like 8 years for a drug from the thought of it to the testing. You know, 8 years to get a drug approved to bring it to the market. You know, so this is not been approved.
Well, that's why a lot of people in the past went to Mexico City to have treatment, and or Canada, you know, or Spain. You see these people having to leave the country to have these procedures done because it took so long in the States to be okayed.
Yeah, which is crazy that it takes so long, but because that has been our protocol, that was one of the things that made me not want to get two shots at the same time. You know, we can guess if something went wrong that it was the COVID shot, but it might also be the commingling of whatever is in the flu shot in conjunction with the COVID shot. It might not be the COVID shot alone, but the two drugs just might not get along with each other at the same time. It might be too much, or one might trump the other. Who knows? You know, so I just like to do it one at a time and put a couple weeks in between. So my flu shot will be kicked in 2 weeks, you know, kicked in before I put another needle in my arm. But it just made me think about it when I saw that they have to get rid of the unused product at the end of the day, that would give them incentive, because I see the commercials for Walgreens and the grocery store and all that, and they're encouraging people like it's nothing, like it's just matter of fact. Come in and get your vaccines. you know, get them all at the same time.
And how much do they have to discard at the end of the day if they don't have anybody to give it to? I mean, how much do they have ready? Is it that easily gotten that they can? Because I don't hear anybody saying, well, they were out. They had reached their quota. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I just started to read something today, and I didn't read the rest, so I can't tell you, but somewhere there's getting to be a shortage of vaccines, and I think it's because it's that time of year, and some people are deciding to get them, but there were people from the beginning who never bought off on this and didn't go get any shots, or they went and got the first vaccine, but they didn't go get the second, or they got the first and the second, and then didn't go get any of the boosters. Because when it got to the point that we got the first two, and I did get the first two, you know, and then they said we got to get a booster 6 months later because these vaccines only last 6 months. A lot of people said, bullshit. What do you mean it only lasts 6 months?
That's not a vaccine.
It doesn't seem like it, but I did it. Uh-huh. I did everything I was supposed to do according to the CDC last year. I had the two shots and whatever it was. I think it was two boosters after that. So people like me, the last time we had a COVID booster was last November.
Well, you know, if the pharmaceutical companies can get the World Disease or the World Disease guys, I can't remember the acronym, and the World Health Organization, if they can get them to say you're going to need a booster every 6 months, it's just a make money thing, you're going to get it every 6 months. That's all it needs, and it seems like the further up the ladder that you go in that kind of an area, disease control for the globally, the more corrupt it seems.
Well, they did change with the new shot by, what's it called, bivalent, I'll find the word here, but it's bi instead of mono. It was like mono whatever, the ones we all got in the beginning. The shot they just came out with, they just released it. By Evelyn. It's one a year. They're going to liken it to the flu shot and have you get a COVID shot once a year.
Texas one.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Oh. That was the University of Pennsylvania and Johns Hopkins that was talking about the swollen lymph nodes. So it says they can be mistaken for cancer, lymphoma, bunch of other things, enlarged nodes may cause additional testing, sometimes even biopsies, and therefore unnecessary stress and anxieties.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just something I just found out on my own, so I thought I would pass it on to anybody who might be getting imagery coming up, that if you're planning on getting a flu shot or a COVID vaccine or an RSV, you might, if you're able, you might want to wait till after you've had your imagery so that swollen lymph nodes won't show up from your vaccine.
Yeah, it all ties into your basic health.
Well, it does say that your doctor's supposed to ask you if you've had a vaccine and what arm you had it in, and mine did not. Yeah.
I wonder why that is. Because they want to know.
I think there's more lymph nodes in your left arm by your armpit. I remember reading this book once where your lymph nodes drain internally is on the left side. This is going to be really weird, but here's another fun fact for you. 110 years ago, I read a book called Dress to Kill, and it had to do with clothing over time. And what it has to do with this and why I knew about the left side is underwire bras bind you much more than a bra without a wire, right? This might be more than some of you want to know. But
blood flow?
It said statistically, because on the left side is where your lymphatic system is, that when that wire stops where it stops, it blocks the drainage of your lymphatic system and can make things, toxins back up and help cause things like breast cancer. So I think it's along those same lines. If you're getting your shot and you get it in your left arm, it might happen if you get it in your right too, just having the stuff in your bloodstream. But if you have it in your left arm, which a lot of us, because like I write with my right hand and I don't want my right arm hurt, and so I usually get shots in my left arm. Well, and there were different things in that book going way back, like when women wore corsets, you know, those old movies you see where one lady puts a foot up on one gal's butt and pulls so tight, you know, to tie that garter on. Back in those days, ladies had more kidney and liver issues. And it was because of that tight bondage against their internal organs and wearing it every day, day after day after day, year after year, so tight that it caused disease. They talked about what I came out of the womb in, you know, pointed stiletto heels.
Well, that's it.
They did it
to their feet. They did it to their feet, too. Just strangled them.
Yeah, well, and made them out of shape instead of your toes being able to lay normally like they would in a normal toe bed. You take a pointy shoe and you're pushing your toes together, and that can cause bunions and foot problems.
Did you realize the high heels was actually men's fashion before women's?
No.
I looked that up one day. We were discussing
look taller?
Well, I'm assuming, yeah, because the average male height was about 5'5", maybe, depending on what country and what century you're from. But mainly men were smaller. So the high heels was actually for, and they used them like in France, and I don't know about how much in England. But yeah, it seemed to me that the region would be that they would tower over other people with bigger life. The women's, it was to accentuate the hind thing, the women's butt.
Yeah, I gotcha. The hindquarters, the caboose. Yeah. Yeah, well, I imagine those heels were probably square. They weren't stilettos. I was picturing the what's going on now in our society. But
I can see.
Yeah, I can see why in a boot or a man's shoe, you know, there would be a wider square heel to give them the appearance of being taller. But that was a really interesting book. I don't even know if it's still out being published, because it really was like probably 40 years ago when I read it, but it was really fascinating because it was, the other one, again, going back to breast area, this really killed Victoria's Secret stock, I think. Oriental, there is less incidence of breast cancer in Asian countries than there is in the United States. And part of that is because they're smaller breasted, largely as a population.
I think there's something that has a lot to do with their diet. They have high iodine content in what they eat when being raised to where we lack.
Yeah.
And I think that is a contributing factor. I mean, I'm sure there's other also. Yeah.
No, I think that makes sense. That makes sense. This book just happened to be about clothes, so I can see why they put it in there the way they did. But what you're saying makes sense too, because there's different diet would definitely make a difference as well. But yeah, they were just saying that in a lot of places where they were smaller, they weren't wearing bras. you know, especially ones that had binding in there. But that's why the left arm anyways, that's where the lymph nodes drain. So if you're binding that area. But anyway, that was my bit on what TBI is for tonight and some other fun facts, just that housekeeping I found out about the vaccines and just that what you might be mindful of. I'm not recommending that you get something or you don't get something, but I was put off when both my mom and I, different kinds of doctors, different doctors, couldn't give any advice. And so, you know, there's a couple things for you to think about that you might be able to direct the question a little bit different to your doctor or pharmacist and see
That's
what
true.
They have to say or, you know, make your own decision. But, you know, I like to make my own decision based on facts, and I look to the experts for the facts. So I know that the doctors and the CDC and WHO, that nobody knows the definitive answer. So everybody's guessing. But it does leave you feeling, wow, I don't know what to do. And it helps to be able to have a professional medical practitioner who hopefully is reading the studies. And again, they know how many of their patients they've admitted to the hospital with COVID. And they know because they made us document every shot we got. You know, we got cards
that tell
exactly
That's
what
right.
date we got our COVID shots. So, you know, they would know whether a person had a COVID shot or not. And they would know if they admitted, you know, their patients or how many of their patients they've admitted or not to the hospital with severe COVID. And knowing things like that seems like that doesn't mean it would happen that way for you or I, but we might want to know the numbers. It might help us feel like we're making an informed decision.
Yeah, and somebody is collecting that data, and I can tell you why. In order for me to get to Australia 2.5 years after I had started the adventure, I had to get the shot. So I was allowed to travel internationally. Not ever again was I asked anywhere if I had taken my shot, because when I got scanned on one of the barcodes, my ticket or something, my ID or something, passport, they didn't ask me again. And I thought that was one thing I would be asked at every airport I went through. It's not. So
was
somebody,
that?
Somebody has me marked.
I'm sorry,
I did have this. So
well,
I thought Australia.
Yeah. Was that the, do you know, was that Australia or the U.S. that made you have the shot to travel?
Well, I had to fly through. I went to New Zealand first and then to Australia. So there were two countries involved. Australia had just opened up. They had just opened up their travel not too long before I got down there. 6 months maybe.
Oh.
They were starting to allow people back in the country. You had to have a reason and proof that you were who you were, you know, with. I don't know, but not again was I ever. Hmm. I ever asked about my COVID shot. So I don't know. So I figured it's on my passport. It's on my ID, and somebody's got it in a database with everybody else's.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I feel like, you know, the doctor should be able to share an opinion knowing his patient's health history. and knowing whether or not they've had a vax and knowing whether or not they've admitted anybody.
Did you say that they cannot ask you, or they can if you had a shot? Or they have to ask you. Your doctor.
I was asking, the doctor was, yes, I'm sorry. Before you get a mammogram, the doctor's supposed to ask if you've had a vaccine and what arm you had it in. Mine did not. Okay. If I wouldn't have called myself because of my own concerns, and that nurse answered me and said, I'd wait. You know, I'd get the mammogram first and get the vaccine afterward. And I didn't ask her any questions at that time. I just, because I led, right? I led. She answered. I made a decision. I went and got the mammogram. And 3 days later, I went and got, the way my doctor works is, if there was something abnormal, they would have called that day or the next day. If it was normal, they send you a letter a week later. So
yeah, no,
barring,
no news is good.
Barring the fact that they made a mistake, yeah, no news is good news, or the letter. You know, barring that nobody screwed up, you know, I went through, I got the shot on a Thursday. I got the mammogram on a Thursday, so I got the shot on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday we're on, so it's 6 days later, and I haven't gotten a phone call, you know, saying that there was anything wrong. That means there's probably a letter sitting on the stove. That's where I throw the mail. God knows I don't need to cook on it.
Falls behind the stove.
I better look at the mail so I can see that there was nothing wrong. But no, they didn't ask me. And when I actually got there to get the mammogram, you know, I mean, you're standing there doing what you're doing. If you've ever seen, you know, what gals are doing when they get a mammogram, you're standing there and the nurse is positioning you and all that. And I just said, actually, with what I had been through before, with the biopsy in another neighborhood, the mammogram was nothing to me after everything before that, the month before that. But I just said, I was just wondering, you know, I called and asked, and you, thank you for telling me, but why is it that you should wait to get the vaccines till after the mammogram? She said, because it has a tendency to accumulate and swell your lymph
positive.
Nodes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
False positives. Makes sense.
Well, so my doctor didn't happen to ask. So, ladies, if nobody asks, you might, or don't ask, Google it. See what I'm saying is true, and then if you're concerned about it, you don't want to sweat it, you know, be stressed, maybe have them want to do a biopsy, you know, an unnecessary biopsy or any other unnecessary.
Ask him in a certain manner. That's how you ask him. Okay, go ahead. I lost the train of thought. God's on.
No, I was just going to say, just get your vaccine. Go get your mammogram and get your vaccine afterward. You can easily Google and read
that
I'm saying is true.
Ask him why would he think other people would consider it possibly dangerous? Why would they, other people? There you go. Well, I don't know. Maybe this. Because I think it's. Actually makes sense. Why would you want to put yourself in that possibility? false
Well, I
positives
know. You wouldn't have believed the paper, the two articles I wrote by medical professionals that said, nah, don't worry about it, you know, because the vaccines don't cause cancer, which I thought was totally missing the point. It's obviously a guy who's never had a frickin' mammogram, you know, never had the old tit in a ringer, as the old saying used to go, you know, who would say something so stupid as, you know, the vaccine doesn't cause cancer. So if your mammogram comes up abnormal, you know, we might want to do our due diligence and do a biopsy just to make sure it's not cancer, because cancer or lymphoma presents like that. Why, really?
Even a placebo effect, even if it gives a placebo effect to a patient, eases their mind, is a positive thing. So I don't understand why, if it was brought up as an issue, why they wouldn't consider being policy, you know?
Well, yeah, why would you want to put somebody through the stress and the pain of going through a biopsy and then having to worry, you know, waiting weeks to find out whether it was cancer or not? That's, neither one of those things is fun. The biopsy or the other, you know, and I was telling Gary, I thank God, you know, I didn't, talking about the surgery I had, I thank God I didn't have cancer, obviously, but that biopsy is changing my life for 6 to 8 weeks while it's healing. Everything that they cut out of my insides for the biopsy takes 4 to 6 weeks to heal. So,
oh wow!
You know, that biopsy was a surgery where I had to go under, which isn't good for people with brain injuries, you know, to be getting put under a lot. Our brains already shrink as we get older. We've already got brain damage from brain injury. So, you know, we don't really want to get put under a bunch of times under general anesthetic.
Yeah,
it just makes us more forgetful.
If you happen to know your anesthesiologist by name, first name and basis, you have a TBI. No.
Mine knew. I didn't know him on a first name basis, and I didn't see him until I was rolled into surgery. But then a couple different things, instead of just the twilight stuff they give you, like when you get a colonoscopy or something, there are some of us who have, you know, I had just gotten diagnosed a month before with high blood pressure. And I really honestly think that's the sustained stress I've been under since my dad died Christmas. Our dog had to go away in June. 6 months of procedures for the cataracts, then getting an abnormal pap. You know, it has just been relentless stress. And so I told the doctor when it came to the biopsy that this is also statistically proven and very easy to go look up from any credible or not source, any credible source, that your state of mind when you go into surgery does have an effect on how the surgery goes and how the recovery goes. And so they knew that I had a TBI, and they knew that I had just been diagnosed with high blood pressure. And high blood pressure can cause anybody, but people like me that have already had an aneurysm, high blood pressure is a kiss of death for having another aneurysm. And if you then have something called white coat syndrome, meaning that going into the doctor's office or going into surgery or a hospital makes you even more keyed up, you know, then you take the high blood pressure you just got diagnosed with and compound that. And so I think he gave me a tranquilizer and a of more blood pressure stuff. I think I had quite a mixed cocktail. But that's good. I didn't remember anything and I didn't wake up so during surgery, so that's a good thing.
Well, can I tell you an ER story?
Yeah.
Okay. I was with a in a passenger seat of my friend's car, and we got hit broadside pretty hard, and I ended up being taken to the emergency room of the local hospital. Because of the possibility of me having neck problems, I couldn't get anything for pain until all the tests were done, which was about 45 minutes. Then afterwards, I got wheeled back to the ER, and the lady comes up and asked me, if, you know, you ready for some vitamin V, or vitamin M, she called it. And I said, yeah, please. She comes and gives me a shot, leaves. A couple minutes later, she comes back and has a feeling. I go, I'm feeling nothing. So she ends up giving me another shot. First it was 10 milligrams, then it was 5. And then she comes back in after the second shot after about 5 minutes, and I said, I'm not feeling a thing. And this is intravenously, so I know it should be immediate. And she goes, I'm going to talk to the doctor. She comes back and says, all right, I can give you 10 more, but that's it. So she shoots and she says, I'm going to sit here. This is going to hit, you know, going to take effect. I said, no, I can't feel a thing. She went back and chased the hose back, and the hose was, or the line was kinked. So she unkinked it.
Oh.
I got all that morphine.
A blast.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Whoa,
oh
right.
My God. Hello.
Yeah, now I got to say,
now that's the kind of things they really got to watch that shit, you know? I mean, God.
She had a story to tell.
Yeah, no, that's a great story. It's just, yeah, they got to watch, be careful of things like that, you know, kinking people's cords. What if it was an oxygen cord, you know? I mean, hose. Anyway, but that was funny because you really got a boot for that all getting blasting at you at the same time.
I got like three times what I was supposed to.
God. And did they realize it?
Oh, yeah. She did. The nurse, she goes, oh, wow, I'm going to stay here with you. Hold on.
You wouldn't have been going anywhere. You wouldn't have been able to get up and go anywhere.
I did my stand-up comedy routine. ER. Mercy stand up, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I put one of your drawings up on the scrolling pictures. Not your drawing, the front of your poem book drawing.
Oh, I saw that. Thank you. Yeah. What you cannot see.
I had some of your drawings, too. I was going to put them up there, but I wanted to put your poetry on my desktop. But I've got pictures of yours in my phone, but then I've mailed some of them from my phone to my main computer, and I had that on my desktop, so I was going to tell you to send me the picture again. I had Gary try to clean it up a little because you sent it so fast that night with Tom Petty. And I almost, I didn't have on readers, and I almost took Tom Petty. You guys were so close. I almost took that. I'm like, no, that's Tom Petty. I said to my husband, can you try to clean this one up just a little bit, make it a little more clear? Otherwise, I'm going to have to get a hold of him and get another picture. And I was just booking the show real quick so we could get it up on the board and people would know there was going to be a show, because I do post these in about 30 places around social media, several groups on Facebook and several groups on LinkedIn. I quit using Twitter, aka X, a long time ago. You ask me what time it is and I tell you how the watch works. I never fully figured out how to use that.
Yeah, I've never done Twitter either.
Well, then I just kind of made a declaration that I didn't want any more social media. Like, I'm not on Instagram or any of that other crap. I heard too many stories and have done enough shows now about the damage. Talk about brain damage. I think too much social media is a contributor to that. What you're reading and what you're doing, you know. I think one of the things that we were going to talk about, we got about a half hour, but recovery, I talked about what brain injury is. We were going to talk a little bit about how the brain heals and, you know, talk of neuroplasticity we hear a lot of, and that's where when one part of your brain has gotten damaged, another part will often pick up that function. If it was on the left side, for example, cognitive issue, the neuroplasticity might pick up somewhere near that and pick up the test. There's a lot of different ways and guests that I've had on that talk about ways to heal brain injury, but, and if it does, interesting guest I'll be having on again that I haven't talked to for a while thinks it has a lot to do with hormones, that, you know, our central nervous system and pituitary glands can get messed up when we have brain injury.
You are what you eat. You are what you eat. And I think your diet, there's certain foods you want to stay away from, but there's others that gives your body the ability, more of the ability to, like you said, the neuroplasticity to happen.
Like what?
You just look at it.
What we would think, vegetables and fruits, healthy diet?
Well, he gets into it. It's like the, a lot of creams and milk. I look at the ones that you do want to stay away from: processed meats, fatty meat. It's just too much saturated fats. But on the positive side, you know, the nuts and stuff that you don't usually have too much in your diet can be critical. So it's a good thing to look into. How to let your brain heal itself, because none of this is information I was ever told, and I didn't have it available to me. I wish I had.
Right. Me too. Me either.
Yeah.
This guy also, Dr. Gordon, also was the one that told me about that it often shorts us on vitamin D and fish oil. But when I say fish oil, what I really mean is he said never buy any, like at the wherever, Walgreens or wherever, you know, like nature made or whatever, that the kind of, I'm trying to think of the synonym for fish oil, but anyway, that it, to make sure that it's Nordic and high quality. And apparently the Nordic area and the Nordic fish oil pills that you find, that area, the for one thing, the fish are cleaner than they are, and there's not a bunch of additives and preservatives in the vitamin, which a lot of drugs have. But yeah, Nordic fish oil, that something about that is a good healer.
Yeah,
and I would imagine any clean food.
Yeah, it's got
the
amino acids.
Thank you.
Omega-3.
Yes. That's what I, fish oil, omega-3, that's what I was trying to think of, the omegas. And so those should be Icelandic or Nordic and not just something you pick up in the drugstore that says fish oil.
Yeah, and that's usually salmon, anchovies and sardines, I think, are the three with the most, if that matters, if you says what kind.
Been a kid since I've had a sardine. I like anchovies, and I eat salmon at least once or twice a week. I just like it.
Oh, yeah.
But kind of wonder, you know, with pollution being what it is, how, well, he was also talking about elements of the keto diet, but I just need to find food I like that's healthy to eat. You know, I don't know anybody who's ever been on a diet, per se, diet that has stayed on it. You know, usually they're going on a diet to lose weight or whatever. I know a lot of people that did a good job. I don't know what all keto involves, but because I don't believe in them. I just believe in cutting. Well, it's actually my therapist. She was on the keto diet for couple of years, and now she's not, but she was doing it for other reasons, and I just cut out, well, like I said at the beginning of the show about the Orange Crush, I've only had three sips off of it, and I'm going to put the lid back on and put it away, but I just cut back on sugar, eat more vegetables, eat a more well-rounded thing, just regular eating habits that are different.
Yeah, a lot of
moderation, like you said.
Yeah, moderation and not obvious stuff. I just cut down portions, cut out a lot of sugar. Most of my sugar I was never anyone that sat around and ate bonbons, so that wasn't my sugar problem. My sugar problem was, it also wasn't pop, because I really did pretty much quit drinking that. I'd maybe have a soda a month, that wasn't a problem, but it was those, like at the beginning, I would go through Starbucks, or we've got another one, Scooters, and they had, it was right when it started getting hot, so it's hot and humid, right, in Nebraska, and we're blah, and I would go through, it's really close on my way home, and it actually, my friend told me that it happens to have the least calories of anything in Starbucks, but I got turned on to a It was strawberry mango lemonade. And that was really good, you know, and it's like 97 degrees with humidity, you know, at 100% and feels like 110 degrees out. You know, for about a month, just about every day, I was stopping and getting a strawberry mango lemonade, and I could tell how my clothes fit a month later. So it wasn't about sitting around eating sugar or chips. I don't eat chips or any of that kind of stuff. It was the calories that were in that lemonade. So, yeah, I guess just moderation.
Yeah, there's a lot of information that you can go seek out. And, you know, I wish it was available to me back then. Because I got to a point where I was satisfied with how much I had healed. Instead of staying aggressive, I just finally got to a point because I was tired of doctors. I was tired of tests and just frustration. You just walk away, and I wish I wouldn't have dropped the ball because there's so much out there right now. I'm very positive to help you.
There is, but I don't know if I'd blame you because I did the same thing. But I don't take credit for it like you do because it wasn't offered to me. So, and that's when I was talking about the politics earlier of all the associations and alliances and things like that. They've got a lot of information to educate you about the statistics I just read earlier and that kind of stuff. Far as I know, unless they've changed it in the last 6 months, because March was Brain Injury Awareness Month, September was Brain Aneurysm Awareness Month, and every show I did in those months were around that, and I checked those websites, and they really didn't have anything, you know, the group where there's a board of directors that gets paid a good amount of money to run these associations really didn't have anything for if you were a survivor and called and said, I'm a survivor. I just got in this crash. I was in a coma for X amount of time. Can you tell me some things that I can do to help my brain heal? They wouldn't have anything on the website or anyone you could talk to that would tell you. And my doctors didn't tell me anything. I mean, I had the brain surgery and they said, you lived. You can walk and talk. See ya.
Good luck.
You know, it was great. But, you know, then you start noticing gradually the forgetfulness and the agitation and mood shifts in the beginning. I do now. I just didn't think it was very funny back then because I didn't know what was going on. That wasn't me. You know what I mean? There's this person acting in a way that wasn't me. And I got past that stuff. But, you know, that was not because of what any doctor did. It was resources that I searched out myself, like DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, or CBT, cognitive behavior therapy. You know, those were some tools for the brain healing, emotion regulation, wise mind. There's 4 modules to the program. I did that for 2.5 years. But that was something I sought out myself. And I find that I don't frequent them anymore. They're kind enough to let me post my shows, but we don't have any support groups here in my town, so there that wasn't a resource either back then. And I wasn't on social media back then. I wasn't on social media until I became a radio host, and then I realized that this was the 21st century way of advertising. So if I wanted people to know that I had a show and I'm trying to help people and make them aware, then you got to join social media. You know, that's where I came upon groups of people with brain injuries. And I learned more from people in those groups and guests that I've had on my show than I ever learned from the medical profession, which was zero. Except that I've got some great doctors who have been guests of mine. And several of them, interestingly, are doctors who had brain injuries of their own, and that got them interested in knowing more about TBIs when they had theirs and started experiencing some of the same things that I was and that a lot of my guests do. You know, people I'd consider my friends now, when they started experiencing that stuff, they got interested. You know, before that, it probably wasn't a thing. Some of them just sent us to a shrink, you know. We'd complain about the different, gee, I'm having a lot more anxiety. I'm having trouble sleeping. I used to be able to do three things at once, and now I can't. I really have to focus, you know, on what I'm doing, or I lose it. You know, I lose my place, or, you know, can't focus on what I'm doing. And, you know, they'd offer medication. And finally, when they had nothing to offer, they send you to a shrink. And I used to make a joke. I was very offended by that. And then I got a sense of humor about that about 5 years into the 5 years into being a host. And I said, if you weren't crazy before, you are a little crazy when you get in the system, the brain injury system. Yeah. Yeah, that. And those are both really important lessons, a lot more than by hearing it. Sounds so simple, to have a sense of humor and to go with the flow.
And positive.
But,
and positive. Eliminate the negative in your lives that you can. You know, it's smile every day, laugh as much as possible.
Yeah, so that means you can't really turn on the news much these days.
Yeah, turn the news off, man. It's brain poison.
Telling you, I think we're in trouble. Get your laughs now while you can.
Well, I always said that we were able to grow up in the greatest time in history. And looking what forward might look like, I think I'm right. There's not going to be another better time. So congratulate ourselves. Pat ourselves on the back that we survived it. Thumb our nose at the future. There we go.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the world's kind of exploding right now. And
yeah. Good luck with all that.
We don't seem to have the leadership to. And don't worry, it's only 9 minutes left, and I'm going to play music in a minute, so I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm just going to say it doesn't appear we have the leadership right now to handle what's going on so many fronts.
Oh, yeah.
Around the world. I mean, we never do that, or we wouldn't even be in the Middle East. What, are you kidding me? How long has the Middle East been there? Thousands of years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so complicated now. You know, every angle, every treaty, it's just hard.
I mean, we might learn from the past, and I do encourage y'all to try to learn from the past, but, you know, the government overall hasn't been a very good example. I'm not just saying this just this administration. I'm just saying you talked earlier about politics playing into a lot of aspects of life, and, you know, one of them, you know, I was a financial consultant for 25 years before my brain injury, and the first thing we taught people was that you pay yourself first. You know, you've got all of your bills that come in, but you take some percent of every penny that passes through your hand and save it. And ideally, you'd have 3 to 6 months of your monthly income put away to be able to handle any emergency that might come up. The house, you know, the car breaking, the house, the pipes breaking in the house, whatever it might be. We always taught people to be fiscally responsible. Well, you know, our government doesn't know how to spell fiscally responsible. They set a horrible example for anybody that's watching, you know? And learning from the past when it comes to wars, apparently they don't. We just got done doing 20 years in Afghanistan, and 10 minutes after we left, the enemy had it back. What did we do for 20 years?
Yeah. We don't know how to win a
we
war.
We did leave a lot of equipment that they could use now.
Did we ask him?
Huh?
At least blow it up. Disable it. You got to leave it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, especially since they left so many people behind. God knows they had time, you know, to do that. So now they've got our equipment to use firing on our bases at our troops. So apparently we don't. Our government doesn't learn from the past.
Well, like I said, you got to look for other sources when they do these mandate talks of having to public do something. They're not assemble in certain buildings or certain areas or this and that, mandate the Christian laws. I mean, don't let somebody else decide that out for you. Go. Find out and make your own decision, because the information is not going to be told to you straight up. It's not. It's either one way or the other. You've got to find the middle. You just do. Otherwise, you're a steeple.
Exactly. And I hope people will think about that. You know, we were talking about vaccines, and, you know, whether you get a COVID shot or not might be the least of your worries. With the millions of people that have come over the border, have come likely things like smallpox, tuberculosis, measles, diseases that we eradicated a long time ago. And we don't have a stockpile of vaccines for that stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to go.
Probably not going to go too good.
Goes to hell. about everything that they touch. So, one gotta wonder why.
Seems like think too much, don't think at all.
Please,
not sure what it is. Me either.
The information cycle. It's 24/7, and they know they can taint your view, and that's what they try to do. And that's the honest to God truth. So you need to find others. There are true sources that are coming up that you can trust. But in finding them, good luck. And I won't try to push anything. But they're out there. You can find something that's honest, not left, not right. That's going to tell you what the truth is. It might not be what you want to hear, but at least it's the truth.
Well, I used to listen to the left and the right. I didn't want to be when it came to news. Now I'm not really watching much of any, but during like last election, I was watching the farthest left channel and the farthest right channel, knowing they were both lying and the truth was somewhere in the middle. And the reason God gave me what I got left of a brain was to figure out my truth after hearing both of them give their versions. And so I think everybody should try to do that. Don't just, like you said, go with the sheep, because your parents were one thing, or you go to college and everybody is a liberal who's in college. Everybody was a liberal when they went to college. And when they had to go out and start paying bills, some of them shifted.
This is what it is. It's how it affects you, I guess, at the time.
Well, I shouldn't say that about California. Pardon me. Knowing you live in California, they got your share of liberals in California. I guess the part of the country has something to do with it, too. I'm from a conservative part of the country, too conservative, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not sure that I'd want to be in as liberal of a state as some of them I'm seeing right now. Although we're getting the overflow, so...
I used to be proud to say that I live in California. I was born and raised in California. Eh, not so much. My friends are all gone, leaving. They've moved out of state, most of them.
Seems like a lot of people are, and New York, that, never really liked that. But I loved California, I loved San Francisco, and my favorite part was like around Big Sur and Monterey and Carmel and stuff like that. But I wouldn't even want to go there now. But hang on just a minute, they just said 60 seconds, so I am going to play a song or two. But I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and being here. We appreciate your support. Hatter was my co-host tonight. I'm Kim Justice. I'm on every Wednesday night. If you want to know more about me, check it out at inaflash.org. Good night and God bless. Have a great week. And remember on Saturday to change your clocks.
Spring forward, fall
and
back.
So if it's 11 o'clock now, for example, what time would it be?
10. You fall back. You spring forward. Just put the clocks forward in the spring. You fall back in the fall. Backwards.
I know, but you wouldn't believe my means of thinking. Going forward means the opposite in my mind. But it's so dark now. We haven't even changed clocks yet, and it's so much darker. In the summer, it stays late till, stays light until 9, and now it's dark at 7, and that 2 hours until showtime is like...
Well, it'll be 8. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be 8, so you get an extra hour.
Oh, good. But it'll be dark at 5 o'clock. That's no fun. I can already tell the dogs are winding down. You know, they love the being outside and playing in the fall and spring and summer. They're outside all the time, and I noticed that they're in. I was going in to take a nap today, and I looked at the dogs, and they were all crashed. You know, it's really cold here. It's like in the 20s at night, and the high has been like 33, 35, something like that. Tomorrow, I think it's going to hit 60 for a day and then drop down and be in the 50s. But the funny thing this time of year is when we get a high, the high is from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. It's not like the high gets there at noon and that's what it is all day long, you know? So it's pretty limited, and I noticed the dogs are older now and they're like, screw it, you know? They're depressed. They're just getting in their bed and napping most of the day, and I'm like, I know how you feel, you guys. But
just
anyway.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Been fun.
Yes, thanks for being here. And I'm going to play real quick as we go out a song. I might play your song after it, but just because of Halloween last night, this song is called Ghost, and it was, they changed their name, the band, after it was Insane with Pain. That was when they were on label with Sony, when they got a divorce and became an independent band. The name of the band was The, T-H-E-E, the letter R, Insane, The R, Insane. And I think you can look at TheRInsane.com, and they had about... Huh?
You know Vern. Vern.
Vern. Yeah. Okay. So I think VRinsane.com is still on. It was on Reverb Nation, but I think they still have VRinsane. And you can hear any of these songs there, and I think even download a lot of them for free. Craig just kind of went, screw it. He was going to take everything down, and then he started giving it away. So, in any case, this is a song for Halloween called Ghost. And we'll see you next week.
Ghost.
it. Pretty cool song, huh? Did you mute Hatter? Anyway, that was VR Insane. With Ghost.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was muted listening. It was insane.
What? Oh. All right. Well, I was going to play your song out, but anyway, that was Ghost by VR Insane. And so I'm going to play yours. God, he wasn't even listening.
I'm listening.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
He did the monster mash. The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
Did you do anything for Halloween last night?
No, I had one trick-or-treater.
One! We didn't even one. We had all our lights off. We were hiding. Well, I had that left over from last week. Yeah, luckily we didn't have any. I would have had to give them this Orange Crush. We would add one trick-or-treater.
Put them away for next year.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, I'm going to play your song out. But I had these, I saw these left over. I put them under Halloween for last week's show, and I did play Zevon last week, but I had forgotten Monster Mash. She was
I'll
only
get
5 seconds.
My pretty, and your little dog too.
Have a Kit Kat.
All right, I heard that. Did you have a cat earlier, meowing?
Yeah, she was just here. Yeah,
I wondered.
Always around.
Well, I wondered if you were doing it. I heard one little meow. One little meow. Wanted something.
I don't know why I didn't let him. Yeah. They're saying, "Where's my mom?"
All right,
yeah, was it?
Oh.
Not my cats.
They're not. Are you cat sitting?
Well, they. I take care of them, it seems like. But yeah, they're my roommate's cats. I have a roommate.
I see. Ah, well then, you're not really cat sitting, you're cohabitating. You're cat habitating.
I'm allowed to live with them.
Awesome. Well, all right. For the real end now, everyone listening in the archive, this is my co-host, multi-talented, a poet, and why don't you tell us when your show is? Why don't we get that on here, too, on tape?
We'll see. This next week, next Friday, is a music tribute to CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival. And then Saturday is my regular scheduled night,
at I think 9 o'clock Eastern for AP Taylor, David Lee, and myself. We created a prompt from the week before, give everybody a week's time to write to a certain prompt, and they bring it. This coming up one, I believe, is open poetry, so you can just call in. Just look up ATOV, Latino Voices, blog radio. And, yeah, we'll see you there. It's a lot of fun.
Great. Well, I figured we should plug that, especially since I put your poetry book cover on. So I want to thank Hatter for being here tonight. He's not only a host with the most, a poet, but a musician as well. This song Hatter wrote and had his friend Bridget sing, who we can't find anymore, Words You Cannot Say. And then we'll see y'all next week and wish you good night.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dream.